Foster, side 7. Right. So, what happened? The squatty toilets are the only ones you're going to see there, aren't you, in the Legion, largely?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm sure you went to the wrong place if you didn't like garlic, huh?
Oh, you don't expect to get every meal that you go to
okay.
in that place.
How long did you spend in Chad?
We did 4 months there.
Right, and then?
Well, we did January work. There was 10 of us in a truck out there clearing another minefield at Beddoe. This is about 180 kilometres south of Libya. And then we actually hit an anti-tank mine with a truck.
Oh.
That blew the truck to bits from our rear holes.
And injuries?
We had Mitchell, the English sergeant. He was got a fractured skull. He got a bit of shrapnel straight through the front of his forehead. Broke his jaw. He was in a bad way. And Panic, Yugoslavian, who I was in Djibouti for 2 years with, I actually went there and came back with him. And he got killed. The drum brake shot up in the air. The drum brake from the front wheel.
Yes.
That shot up in the air. Now, he'd actually crouched down with his hands on his head like the rest of us. The drum brake came down and smashed the back of his skull. And really? He was alive for a couple of hours. Then he went to a coma and died.
Really? And were they casualty evacuation or what happened?
They had a helicopter right beside where it at the time, so it took a couple of minutes to get the helicopter there. Then they flew him down to Fire Largo, which was the main camp area. And they were patched up a bit there. And then the Transall came in and took them straight down to N'Djamena, capital of Chad. And from there, they were working in the hospital down there, then flown to Paris, got to Charles de Gaulle Airport. By the time Panich had died, he died on the way down to N'Djamena. Mitch was flown to Paris, to Charles de Gaulle Airport.
And sorry, the Panich or whatever his name, he died when?
He died on the way down to the N'Djamena.
Okay.
He died about half ten in the morning.
Yeah.
About 2 hours after we hit the mine.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the airport, Mitch was put onto a helicopter and flown direct to the hospital from the...
And he got to Charles de Gaulle. Did he make a full recovery or...?
Mitch did, yeah.
Yeah. He's not the one with the Polish name.
No.
He's a different...
His name was Mitchell.
Mitchell. And so you went back to Loudun, wherever it's called.
Loudun,
aye. Yeah, and how did you find it there?
That was just me finishing my time off in the Legion. I had about 8 months to do with that.
Right.
So it wasn't a great deal going on. A couple of exercises.
How did you find it? How did you find them there? I mean, where you went to training camps in France?
Then I went back to the training camp once.
Where was that?
That was Castel. But that was the new camp I went to,
right.
Not the old one.
Where do you go for training exercises?
Yeah, different places all over France.
Right.
The Legion actually owns a lot of farmhouses around France.
Right.
So you can actually build it in them things.
Mm.
Or you've got Canjures, a big forest. It's equivalent to like Senelaga. Big training area for the French forces out there.
Mm.
But we did an exercise. It was amphibious landing with the VABs, because we had amphibious VABs with engineers.
Really? Uh-huh.
And we did amphibious landing, and it was just up from...
which is armoured personnel carriers.
That's it, yeah. It was just up from the, what do you call that place? Cannes.
Yes.
The old festival place.
Côte d'Azur, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was up that way, in the Riviera, whatever. So, it was an exercise for the drivers, not for the rest of us. We just went along, we didn't even take weapons with us.
And, I mean, I've been sort of co-located not that long ago with the Reg. All I can say is they were pistols. They're very nice, but they're pissed all the time.
Was that the Reg?
Yeah. I mean, they're on a training camp in France. And there was loads of booze all the time.
Yeah.
Comments, observations, true or false?
Well, they've got their own company clubs as well there.
Yeah, yeah.
In the
okay.
Reg.
Probably no more than anybody else.
Yeah, so yeah. There were plenty of chills to get booze. I mean, my last couple of months there, I was doing nothing.
Hmm.
I don't have to do any exercises.
Really?
To do nothing at all.
So what, you got discharge leave, did you, or how does that work?
I went on leave before my time was up. I had 30 days leave, and I went back to France again, and I had about a week left in the Reg.
Oh.
I didn't do a great deal. And then, in fact, just before I left, just before I come up, when I come up, my last day of leave, I came back to France. And there was floods in Nîmes. And they were getting the Legion regiments from Nîmes, Orange, and Avignon to go up there and clear the roads out. There were 7 people killed in these floods, about a metre deep. And because I was on my last day of leave, this is how we can stay here.
Mm.
And I was up there The last couple of days doing nothing.
Right. You remained a Legionnaire throughout.
First-class Legionnaire finished.
Do you get a bonus when you leave, or how does that work?
Well, you're supposed to get three-month pay.
Yes.
When you leave, the hell you settle in Civvy Street.
Yes.
And whatever your money you've got in your bank account. Now, when I left the reg, my bank group didn't get sent up to Oban. So I never got that money back, and I never got the three-month pay.
Did you never follow that up?
I got one of the lads, I wrote to him, and I said, right, what's the crack here? I haven't had my money sent through. And he actually got in touch with the pay office and says, right. And they checked the address I'd given him, and it was the same one I was living at.
Hmm.
But nothing ever happened of it.
Right.
I never actually seen the money.
What, did you get bonuses for being in Chad and being in Djibouti?
You got triple wages.
Triple wages in Chad or Djibouti. That's an overseas allowance, is it? And would that be the same in the Pacific?
Pacific, you got a fair amount of money. But Djibouti, the reason you got so much money in Djibouti, because it was actually more than triple, because it was so expensive living out there.
Oh.
That's why you got so much money.
So you got a hardship allowance and a local overseas allowance or something like
that? Yeah, sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. And what if you were in Guyana?
That was less money. How about less than Djibouti?
But more than in France?
More than in France, yeah.
Right. If you did you get a different wage in Corsica?
Yeah, you get parachute pay as
well. Parachute pay, right. Was that taxed or untaxed?
That's untaxed. You don't pay any tax at all.
Right. So, there you are, and presumably you go back home up to the northeast, do you?
Yeah, I went to Hetenley Hall. Or Horton the Spring I was living in.
Right. So when did you actually get married then?
I got married in August 89.
Right, after you'd rejoined the British Army.
Yeah.
What did you do between your leaving in October 88 and May 89?
I was working as a pan scrubber in a hotel.
As a what?
Pan scrubber.
Oh, really?
A kitchen porter type.
Sure. Well, it's not nice. No.
But I mean, at the same time, I got extra money because I was doing doorman at the night time in the hotel. These have live bands every other night.
Mm.
And I would do the doorman bit.
Mm. So Where was that? Where?
This was a Rose Tree Hotel in Durham.
Oh, I see. Was there trouble there or?
No, not really.
No. So, why did you decide to join the British Army?
I'd had enough of Civvy Street.
Had you?
It was getting too much, and I thought, I can't stick this.
So, you spent 5 years, just about in, or more than 5 years in the Army. What did you do? How did you?
I went to the recruiting office in Durham, asked about joining the Army. And they says, yeah, well, you're a bit old, like, because you're 30 years old.
Hmm.
And he says, what do you want to join? And I says, well, I want to join the Royal Engineers.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, I was thinking, because I'm getting on in age now, I'm 30 years old. I haven't got even a trade.
Hmm.
So if I get myself a trade while I'm in the Engineers, it'll set us up before I come up to Civvy Street.
Right.
So that was one of the reasons I wanted to go for the Engineers. And the fact that I was sick of humping around the hillsides with a big berm on me back and a rifle.
Right. And so what happened then?
So there... They'd actually applied for me to get the Engineers at the age of 30 from the recruiting office. And then I got to Sutton Coalfield, do the tests down there, did an interview. Now, normally the interview was about 15 minutes. Mine was 4 hours long, the interview.
Who interviewed you?
I had a captain from the artillery, a major from the intelligence corps.
What was his name?
I haven't got a clue.
All right, okay.
I had a captain from the SAS and a captain from the Royal Engineers. And I got four interviews, but... Basically the same questions over and over again.
Oh, why did they keep on hacking on at you?
Oh, I don't know. And then they had to phone through the Navy as well to confirm my story about why I deserted from the Navy to join the Legion and all that. Phone through there to Centurion Records. Yeah.
Oh, was it out of interest or curiosity or, well, or the scrutiny? Or
a lot of it was by the Major from Intelligence and the Captain from the SAS was just like curiosity why I did it and all this. But the major from the engineers, the captain from the engineers, sorry, he wanted...
The technical.
Yeah, because I was actually applying to join the Royal Engineers.
Yeah. What was it? Was he impressed with your knowledge, or...?
Oh, yeah, he was quite chuffed.
Really? Yeah. And so then what happened?
Then I was given a date for joining the Army.
All right. How,
and I reported on beginning of June, it was, 89.
Hmm. Where to?
What's it called again? Gibraltar Barracks. It's right. Farnham.
Farnham's
here.
Okay. And?
I did a...
Basic training?
Basic training lasted a week.
Was that Royal Engineers basic training?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's normally 9 weeks, do infantry training, drill and all that. So I did a week.
Okay.
They said it's pointless you're going through basic training all over again after what you've been doing in the past. So I did a few tests, BFT, APWT, first aid, NBC, and Geneva Convention tests. And then they said, right, then they sent us across to part two training, which was the combat engineering side.
Uh-huh. Who else were the recruits? You only did 1 week.
Yeah.
1 week out of, instead of nine, or eight or nine.
9 or 10 weeks they did, yes.
Who were the others there?
A lot of them were just school leavers, really. Uh-huh. Yeah, there was two there, I remember when I first got there, they put one in the TV room, give her all a cup of tea apiece. And there was one geezer there, a big mouthy swine, he was saying, well, there's going to be no problem at all for me, I've done this all before. And I said, oh, yes, there's been the British Army before. He says, no, I was in the Foreign Legion. And I says, oh, yes, I was only in the Foreign Legion for. And he says, 3 weeks. I says, 3 weeks? Of course, then this other geezer starts up, oh, I was in the Foreign Legion as well, and he's done 2 months, this one. The 3 week one, I found out he'd asked to leave at Oban. He didn't want to go any further than Oban, he asked to leave. And the other one deserted from Castel. Mm. So one had been in 2 months, the other had been in 3 weeks. And I was sitting there listening to these stories going on between these two idiots. And then this corporal came in and he goes, who's Foster? And I says, I am corporal. And he says, you the bloke who spent 5 years in the Foreign Legion? I says, yeah, that's right, corporal.
What are these two?
They just sort of looked at me in amazement because I've been sitting there listening to all this bull going on between the two of them. Mm. And it was like the look of shock on the faces when I found out I'd done 5 years.
Mm. And so then you went to where?
I was still in Gibraltar Barracks, but the other side of it.
All right, okay. And so how long did that take?
This was about 13 weeks, I think it was, combat engineering.
And who else was with you on that? I mean, they're all young lads doing it?
Yeah, a lot of young lads. Yeah. But we had one bloke that transferred from the Scots Guards. He was a Lance Corporal. A Lance Corporal who'd left and actually joined up again, but he was from the King's Regiment.
Right.
And another lad who'd been, he was a slop or cook in a 5-9.
And he what?
He was a cook with 5-9 engineer commandos.
Right.
And he wanted to be an engineer.
Right. And how did you get on with these people? Are they all much less experienced and much younger?
No, the three Lance Corporals from the Scots Guards or whatever, they had a lot of experience. There was also a private who got kicked out of the Intelligence Corps, and he got sent to Royal Engineers. And I got on with them no problem at all.
Mm. What about the youngsters?
I was in a room with two 17-year-olds. Yeah. And, I mean, you used to get room inspections every day. And the captain, he was a troop commander, and the corporals and the sergeant would come in, rip the lockers to pieces, throw the kit all over the place, and say the room's disgusting. And I'd be standing in the corner, and the captain would say, everything okay, Sergeant Foster? And I'd say, yes, sir. And that would be it. I never got any trouble at all. Nobody picked on us or nothing like that. So I had a pretty cushy in training.
After that?
Well, it was after the training, because I was waiting to get posted, and I'd said to the wife, I said, look, at the time, I says, if I get posted to Germany, we'll get married. If I'm in the UK, we'll just wait for a while. And I was posted to Germany straight away, so we got married. And then I moved up to Germany.
Where in Germany was that?
I was in Iserlohn. Uh-huh. I was 2 6 Engineer Regiment, 2 5 Field Squadron. And I was there for 4 years.
So you're in quarters and all the rest of it?
Yeah, well, I was living in money quarters anyway. But all I did there was I did a few exercises, and I did a tour of Northern Ireland with them. Uh-huh.
Did you have any German from the Legion, or how did you?
I'd learned a bit of German in the Legion, but when I got there to Germany, I actually did a basic German course, and I passed that one as well.
Was that a voluntary thing, or?
Yeah, I was volunteered for it.
You volunteered yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You didn't, okay. You wanted to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you do it? How difficult did you find that, or?
Oh, it wasn't too bad, actually. No. I got a B.
Oh, wow.
But the final part of it is you have to do an interview, and they sit and talk in German. The only thing was that this woman captain who was interviewing me, the school teacher, she said, you're the one who was in the Foreign Legion, aren't you? And I says, yeah. So most of the conversation changed from German to French, because she spoke French, and she gave us a B for me German, and I spoke most of it in French. So that was one hell of a German course I did.
Right, what did, you're in Germany doing, I mean, they're doing divisional exercises or local exercise, whatever it might have been all the time. How did you find the methods that were used by the Brits compared to the French?
Infantry-wise, they were pretty terrible, but they're engineers. But then again, a lot of them used to say, I'm an engineer, and I used to say, you're a soldier first, you're an engineer second. Oh. You do a simple thing like guard duty, a stag on, and they'd be falling asleep on guard. They couldn't get bothered to walk around a bit or do this. I actually did an exercise one time and found one of the, I was taken over on guard and found the one who was supposed to be on guard asleep on top of the engine covers to keep warm. And while he was asleep there, the SAS who were playing the enemy had actually pinched his notebook and rifled his pockets without even knowing about it, because he was too lazy to get up and walk around a bit. And there was a lot of slovenness like that I found.
With the engineers in particular, or in the British Army in general?
I think a lot of the British Army in general as well.
Really? Mm. What about fitness and so forth?
Fitness is not as good as the Legion. But in the Legion you're doing it every day.
Mm. What about professional engineering type work?
The engineer-wise they're good, they really are good.
Right, better than the French?
Better than the French, yeah, right. Definitely.
Yeah. What about things like marksmanship and field craft and so forth?
So you don't do a great deal in the British Army, unless you're infantry.
Unless you're
marksmanship. Yeah. You do. I mean, when I was there, we fired the rifle once a year. That was your annual personal weapons test. Whereas in the Legion, you do it every other week. You're out in the range of shooting.
Sure. Even an engineer regiment? Or am I wrong?
Engineers are the same.
Right. What about field craft?
Field craft, it was...
And camouflage. And
yeah, you didn't do a great deal. On exercise, that was the only time.
How did that compare to the French?
I think the British are better than the French, at least. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing.
What about all the sort of mess etiquette tradition and, you know, all this respect for officers, respect for sergeants and sergeants bawling people out and all that sort of thing?
Oh, and the British,
it's not the same as discipline. It's more like... bullshit, but not spitball, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, hierarchies is what I'm saying.
British Army, like, you get a lot of those called the sergeants by the first names or the staff sergeants by the first names. In the Legion, you wouldn't ever hear about that. Mm-hmm. Unless it was a Brit and you knew him personally. Mm. But I mean...
But that varies regiment to regiment. I mean, but I think in some places, the NCOs, the corporals don't each know each other's first names. Yeah. It's so bullshit. In the British Army, yeah? Now, okay...
But things like mess-wise, in the Legion, you don't have a corporal's mess. You have a chief corporal's mess, sergeant's mess, and both like. But in the British Army, you've got a corporal's mess. So you've got Lance Corporal, which are coming to a first-class legionnaire. They have their own mess to go to. Whereas corporals in the Legion, they just use like the normal bars as everybody else.
How did you... mix at all with the Germans? Or was your slightly continental-ised... from having lived in France so long?
I was I saw the German neighbours up the road where I was living in Germany, and we scored up his house quite a lot. Mm. He's actually turned his cellar into a bar.
All right.
And a lot of his booze, if you look at his booze on the shelves, it all had nothing stickers on it. Because the booze and the nothing was cheaper than the shops in Germany, or like the bottled spirits wise. Mm. Beer was cheaper in the German shops. But if Addy wanted any, this bloke, his name was Adolf, and if Adolf wanted any, or Addy wanted any, bottles of spirits, you'd ask one of the British soldiers to take them into the nothing. So you took them in, you just said, oh, he's my father-in-law, I'm married to a German. And they wouldn't argue with it. And he'd go around and fill his trolley up with cigarettes and booze, and then you'd pay for it at the till for him. And that was it. Then he'd drop you back off home again, go for a couple of beers with him or whatever.
Do you reckon you mix more with the Germans than most of the Brits did?
No, I think it was just because he was a neighbour, chatting with British soldiers.
Okay.
Because when I moved from there, I didn't talk to any of the Germans.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't even know anybody in the neighbourhood.
Right. And you did a Northern Ireland tour?
I did one tour with their 2-5 Field Squad, and that was for 7 months.
Sorry?
7 month tour, that was.
Right.
1990.
Where in Ireland was that?
It was based in the Mayor's Prison.
Oh, really?
It was Engineer Ruhlmann Squadron. And we got there in September. I got there... the 17th, it was a week after my little boy was born, my oldest boy was born. Mm. And we got there just in time for the Newry bombings. It was the worst bombings in 15 years when the IRA were using the human hostage bombs.
Oh, yes.
Tying
yes.
people into the vans.
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
Holding the hostage, family's hostage.
So that would have been what? That was when? About 1990
it was.
Yeah.
Just at the beginning of the Gulf War as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And what duties do you have to do there?
Well, I did 3 months of it was a mixture of a. Working in the armoury as armourer, and I worked in
where did you qualify? You were qualified as armourer, had you?
No, just a job I got.
Right.
Had to do. Oh. Armour in stores, working in the stores. And I did three months, actually out in the streets, But it was in civvies rather than in uniform.
What were you doing?
We used to escort on the vehicles, civvy vehicles going through. So you had a cement mixer going to do a job, laying cement.
And was that a contractor or...?
No, it'd be probably an army one.
Yeah.
So you'd have an army driver in civvies. And you'd be in a car or a van with your guns, escorting them to the job.
What guns were you using?
You had all sorts of different cars. They're all civvy cars with civvy number plates.
But what guns?
It's a 9mm pistol.
Just 9mm?
9mm pistol and 20 rounds, that's all you were given. Which is not a great deal.
No. Not at all. And so that was mostly what you were doing, was it all?
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. Did you have any contacts? Or?
We didn't, no.
No. So then you returned to Germany?
Back to Germany again, and a few more exercises, nothing much happening. Then we did a tour in Belize.
What was that like?
That was terrible, it was. I got a job there for local purchase. I had to go into town all the time and buy it on, it was terrible, it was.
Why didn't you like that?
Well, it was mostly the driving job, you're driving back and forwards.
Yeah.
And it's a nightmare driving in Belize. There's no like left hands or right hand side of the road, there's no pavements. It's like hit down the middle and hope for the best.
And how far is the camp from the east?
The camp was about 15-20 minutes like drive, it was. Yeah. And that was putting your foot down on the highway.
Yeah. But I know there are lots of road accidents.
Yeah, a hell of a lot. I had 2 good weeks out there. I got to a place called Baldy Beacon, on top of the mountains, for a range firings. We had to look after the place. But that was a good 2 weeks up there. Nobody to bother you. So you go for a run whenever you wanted. Like a nice run down the mountain and then run back up again. So it was, you left your own devices, really. And then we finished the time off in Belize. Back to Germany again. Went on leave, came back off leave, and I thought I got posted to Northern Ireland again. And I was in Northern Ireland for 7 months. Well, the first thing I did when I got there was applied for a redundancy in the phase 3.
Why had you had enough?
Well, the wife didn't like Northern Ireland anyway.
Right.
Because I'm over there with the first kid. And she didn't like the place. So I said, well, I'll apply for the redundancy. So I did that. And on February the 24th, 1994, I had a big group outside the CO's office. And it was a smaller group. And I was told by the sergeant, he said, what happened last year was the first group didn't get the redundancy. And the second group did get it. So we was in the first group. And there's loads. There's 54 of us standing there. And there's about 16 blokes in this other group. And then it says, right, first group in you go. And they took around, I think it's about 8 of them at a time at the CO's office. And the CO says, well, as you can see by the big pile of red books here, you've all got your redundancy. So it was the 54 who got it, and the other ones were turned down for it.
So
that was on February the 24th, we got told about redundancy. By April the 11th, I was handing my quarter over, drove up to Larne, got the ferry to Stranraer, and that was me out of Ireland for good.
Were you posted there for 7 months again?
I was actually posted to Ireland for 2 years.
Right.
But because of the redundancy, I only ended up doing 7 months.
And what were you doing when you were there?
I got put in the stores.
And that was it all the time?
Yeah, just in the stores.
Right.
And I lived in a civvy housing estate outside the camp, 15-minute drive from the camp. But I mean, there was nothing happening.
Did you, because of your Foreign Legion background, did anybody ever try and stir and mix it with you, or...?
No, I didn't have any problem. When I first got there, in Germany I did.
Yeah, and
there's a group that was about fun, like school bully type things over there. And I was in this room with 2 kids. And I came out, they used to come at the night time giving these 2 kids grief. They never used to bother with me. And I come to one night, it must have been about 1:30 in the morning.
1:30 in the morning?
Yeah, there's about 4 or 5 of them came in drunk. And one of them was a Scottish bloke, and he said to this lad, what's your name? He says, Pickers. He says, what's your first name? He says, Jim. He says, well, my name's Jim, and I don't like anybody else who's called Jim. So he hit this kid, and I thought, well, that's it, I've had enough of this by now, like, because I've been here about a week, and every night this was. So I got up, like, and this Scottish bloke says, you must be the bloke from the Legion, and I whacked him straight into the corridor.
Before he could
even open his mouth again. Yeah. I don't think he was looking for a fight with me, but I just punched him straight out into the corridor. Then his mates started, so I laid into them ones as well. And then I got hold up in front of the Sergeant Major about hitting him. And I says, all right. And I says, you're going to do me? I says, well, do these for bullying. And they're picking on these kids all the time in the room. So then I had to do what was called an induction course into the regiment, last of the week. And the RSM said, if you see any bullying going on, report it to me, and I'll get them kicked out of the army. So after I'd hit these clowns, a couple weeks later they started again, this was just after I'd finished the induction course. And there was a new group of lads that just arrived from training. And one of them was actually sitting on the stairs outside the bar, crying his eyes out, threatening to commit suicide. And by this time I was living in the married court, I wasn't living in the blocks, because the wife had got to come over by then. And I heard the story about this kid threatening to commit suicide. So I got the main ringleader of these bullies, like, and I says, "Oh," I says, "Tom Edge wants to see you." He said, "What for?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "He's over there with the RSM. Not too impressed either." I said, "And I've got that kid over there, the one that you're picking on last night." And he went as white as a sheet, he did. I said, "You better get your mates as well." I says, "The ones you're picking on them last night." I said, "You probably want to see them as well." And I went until he got up road about 20 yards, and I says, "Well," I says, "at this time," I says, "I'm only fooling." I says, "But I hear about you doing it again, picking on kids when they arrive." I says, "You will be up in front of the RSM." And I says, "Noggy, you're going to smack him again like I did the last time." And that was it. It stopped after that. The bullying stopped all these new kids arriving.
Did that happen in the Legion?
No, there's nothing like that in the Legion.
Really?
Yeah, in the Legion, you go to a regiment, you always find there's always somebody wanted to see if you were a tough guy or whatever. Yeah. Like when I joined the Punisher Regiment, there was an Italian had to go at me. And I beat him up one night. And then that was it. Nobody ever gave us any problems with him for that.
But was he having a go and you hit him, or did you catch him unawares?
He was having a go at us, but I mean, at the time, my French was terrible. And he kept going on. It was early in the morning, this was. I'd got up to bed, go to the toilet. When I came back to get in the room, he pushed us back in the corridor and started going on. And he kept going on some blah, 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 bumble a girl, which means going to give you a crack leg. And he kept shouting at us in French. And this bumble a girl bit come up fourth time. After the fourth time, I headbutt him in the face and then laid into him. And then after that, it was no problem at all. Like,
right.
Nobody bothered us.
What's your tip for making sure you don't come out second best in a punch-up?
Start first.
Get your revenge in first.
Get yours in first. Well, they're not expecting it. They're gonna, especially the frogs, you see, they always like a big mouth bit first. So if you hit them while they're doing that, then get laid into them. And then that's it. You're not getting bothered again by them.
Yeah. Right.
So after that, it was left Northern Ireland, and I got posted to the 5th Royal Anglian Tier Regiment.
Oh, really?
In Peterborough. Uh-huh. And I showed my face there about 6 times in 6 months. He said, "Go and leave. If I want you, I'll stand for you." I went from medical, final medical, that was at RAF Wittering or Kettering.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
One of them two it was. It's up the A1. And then 19th of September, I got called back to the 5th Royal Anglian Tier Regiment.
So what were you doing when you were supposed to be doing something with this TA regiment?
I was working at the engineering company I'm working with now.
Ah, right. So you got a job?
I got a job straight away, yeah.
Right.
Well, they weren't actually paying us because I was getting paid by the army still.
So you're working for nothing?
I was working, for 5 months, basically. They give us a couple of 100 quid now and again for petrol money and whatever.
But you're working for these folks for nothing?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Then what happened? Were you putting in full 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or?
8 to 5.
8 to 5, you're putting in a full 5-day week on that.
Yeah, but it was a good experience for me, you see.
Sure, what else are you going to do? Yeah, sure.
It's maintenance, I do maintenance, steel construction.
Yeah.
And it's better than...
do maintenance, sorry?
Maintenance, I do steel construction.
All right.
Okay. Cranes and things.
All right, okay.
And it's better than being like, the most of them down there are just stuck on a welding bench, same job day and day out.
Right, and so you said you packed up with this TA regiment.
Yeah, I got called up there on the 19th of September. I was still actually in the army.
Yeah.
In the army, but I was posted to a TA. And then on the 19th of September, I got called up there. This is right, your terminal leave starts today. And they gave me a red book, shook my hand and says, "That's you, finish with the army."
Who did, they did that from they did that at the TA centre in Peterborough.
Yeah.
So that was when, 94?
94. November, September 94.
Oh, really?
So it should have been September the 19th, I went there for my last day.
Did they speak to you at all about the Legion there?
No. Didn't even know I'd been in the Legion.
Right. And what did they make of you? They just allowed it as well, you know.
They just there was about 30 were all getting
right.
All got posted into the 5th Royal Anglian, all from different tank regiments, artillery regiments.
Is that the way it was done generally?
Yeah, they did it everywhere. People get sent to the nearest tier regiment where you're going to be moving to.
Where had you found you knew that's roughly near where you're going to be employed?
Yeah.
You found a job for yourself?
It's actually my brother who got us a job. He works at the same company.
Right, okay, I'm with you. Okay. When we've had a brief chat before, you said that it was a big mistake to go into the engineers.
Yeah, well...
I'm not sure how seriously you meant that. Or to go into the British Army?
I mean, Andy Hodges, a mate of mine who deserted from 9th Squadron, the Power Engineers, and he'd been telling all this stuff about the engineers. Like, when I actually got there, I thought, this man's lying, you know what I mean? Because I mean, I didn't actually learn a trade in the army. I was just bridge building and on exercises. He did an odd little bit of demolitions, which was nothing really. And I thought, I'm wasting my time here. So I'm not getting a great deal from it.
How do you feel that the Legion made more out of things then? Or did they make more out of things? Made it more entertaining?
It was in the Legion.
I would say entertaining, fulfilling, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it was better in the Legion because you're always doing something different.
In the Legion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always something different to do. And if you didn't have anything to do, they'd find you something to do. I mean, at the time you'd think, oh God, I don't want to do this. And then once you get into it, yeah.
I see. So, you just walk, you're really civilianised anyway, because you're working, or you've been working for a number of months.
Yeah.
And you just got the book and the handshake and that was it.
Yeah. But I mean, even my time, the last 7 months in Northern Ireland, I was working in the stores, and it was like a case of go